We're joined right now by a Sports Illustrated legal analyst, an author, an attorney, the founding director of the Sports and Entertainment Law Institute at the University of New Hampshire School of Law. He is the editor of the Oxford University Handbook of Sports Law. Lots to talk to Michael McCann about. Michael, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. Thanks so much. All right, so yesterday, Judge Leonard Hanser of the Palm Beach County Court granted a motion to suppress videos and any other evidence obtained pursuant to a search warrant that involved Bogcraft at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa back in January. Michael, can you break that down for us? Exactly what does granting that motion to suppress mean?
So, Jim, the most important point is that the granting of the motion means prosecutors can't use the spa videos. The videos where Kraft is videotaped having sexual experiences with multiple women in the spa, that evidence is now inadmissible. But it goes beyond that. Even the traffic stop where Kraft had been in a Bentley stopped after he was at the spa, that's also thrown out. So prosecutors are now left really with only the potential testimony of the women who Kraft saw and whether they would go on the witness stand, what they would recall. It's just a much weaker case. So a huge victory for Kraft in terms of not being convicted of this crime.
Michael McCann is my guest. So, Michael, what was the reasoning behind the judge's finding?
The basic reasoning, Jim, is that the warrant went too far, that it didn't have a limiting purpose. So basically, the prosecutor, law enforcement, for 5 days straight had videos running, recordings running inside the spa. So anyone who went in that spa, including people who were there for lawful reasons just to have a massage, including women who entered the facility, all of these people who went to those spa rooms and got naked or otherwise disrobed, they are on video, videos that are stored in government servers. And the judge felt that that's really not how a search warrant should work. A search warrant should be tailored to the individuals who are suspected of wrongdoing, not simply everyone who happens to go into a business. And he also noted that people have a reasonable expectation of privacy when they go to a spa and they go to a private room where they take their clothes off. The idea that the government is secretly watching them and recording what they're doing, and then that recording goes who knows where in terms of servers, that's really troubling. So the lack of minimization, the idea that they just simply didn't hit stop on the recording, that they videotaped everyone, that made it unconstitutional.
Legal expert Michael McCann joins us. So, Michael, if Kraft did not have the financial resources that he has to hire the attorneys that he hired, how different would this case be?
Yeah, most likely, Jim, a case like this gets resolved through a quick plea deal. Very basically, somebody does a plea deal. Often it's diversion where they don't necessarily agree to the crime, but they agree not to contest it. And then they pay a fine and they do a little community service. That's how these cases usually get resolved. He was never going to go to prison, and none of the men who were caught are going to go to prison. So that's how it probably would have ended. But his lawyers spent a lot of time on this, and they found some real deficiencies in the search warrant. And kudos to them. They were able to create a defense that convinced the judge.
We're talking to Michael McCann. Now, Michael, if you had to predict, how likely is it that that video of Bob Kraft still eventually drops, either legally or illegally?
I've got to think it's more likely than not, and I say that because, one, we know that media companies, including national media companies, have petitioned the court for access to the videos because they argue that it's newsworthy that Kraft was part of this very covered story in terms of media attention. So they're seeking it. Now, currently the videos are sealed, but that's subject to appeal. But there's a First Amendment right for news organizations. But even if the video remains sealed, I think the real risk is the unlawful disclosure. Who knows how many people have seen this video that work for the town of Jupiter or work for the state of Florida, or who could see it? And how many copies are there? You and I remember videos where there were actual video tapes. Now, of course, they're digital files. They're easily replicated. We have no idea how many files exist that are copies of what took place. So all it takes is for one person to sell it. And also, if it goes online, it stays online. Yeah, you can get a court order to take something down, but once something goes online, especially if a celebrity, there's always a reproduction of it.
The internet is in ink. Michael McCann joining us. So, Michael, when you look at it from an NFL standpoint, there is that matter of discipline from the league. If Kraft is not convicted of a crime, how does Roger Goodell go about approaching discipline for him?
Yeah, I certainly Goodell could still punish him. Kraft has already admitted in an apology that he took part in these activities. He's apologized for them. His lawyers have called the recordings akin to pornography. So it's clear that he was there. This isn't a case of, well, was he actually the 77-year-old guy in that room? No, it was him. I think the question for Goodell is going to be, what does that mean? We know that prostitution is associated with degradation of women, particularly women of color, and there's an argument that that Goodell needs to be mindful of that, including with sponsors, including with broadcasting companies that broadcast NFL games, that they could be offended by this, and that Kraft should be punished somehow. Now, what is somehow? We know that Jim Irsay, who pleaded out to a crime of driving while intoxicated, that compelled Goodell to suspend him for 6 games. But you could argue that's much worse, because when you're driving while intoxicated, of course, you're a danger to others. That's different than what Kraft did. We also know that Jerry Richardson received a huge fine, about $2.75 million, and many thought was encouraged to sell the Panthers because of allegations that he mistreated women who worked for him. Different here, because Kraft isn't accused of any kind of wrongdoing with women employees or anything like that. It's really about prostitution. My sense is that the most likely punishment would be a fine. I've never really thought that suspensions of owners make all that much sense. They're not playing, they're not coaching, they're not making personnel decisions. It seems more symbolic. And maybe Goodell will learn from the NBA, where Adam Silver had Mark Cuban pay about $10 million in response to allegations of workplace misconduct there, that it wasn't a fine, but it was a donation that Cuban made voluntarily, if you will. Maybe something similar like that will happen here.
Right. Or a draft pick. If you really want to get at an owner, you're right. They don't play. They don't coach. But if you take a draft pick, that will get their attention. Michael, before you go, let me ask you about another legal issue. Bob Kraft is not the only legal matter in sports right now. There's also the ongoing legal situation surrounding this year's Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security's jockey, Luis Saez, was suspended 15 racing days by the three stewards. What was the argument behind that decision?
Yeah, the argument there is that Saez committed interference, and that he did it in such a reckless way and a careless way that it warranted that kind of punishment. Now, 15 days may not sound like an enormous punishment, but in the horse racing world, 15 days is huge. In fact, it's 5 times what a normal suspension is, and it prohibits him from sort of plying his trade. He's not able to go and race, including at the Preakness. So this is a very severe punishment. Even though it doesn't sound that bad, 15 days, it's actually very, very strict. And he will likely challenge it through the appeals process, maybe go to court. He's going to argue that even if he committed an infraction, it was an accident rather than an act of carelessness.
So where do the other legal matters surrounding the Kentucky Derby stand right now? What else is out there?
Well, we know that Gary West, the owner of Maximum Security, could sue over the disqualification. We know that there remains questions about what exactly happened. Why was there interference? Were other horses involved? Were other horses at fault? It's a story where if you ask 3 horse racing experts, you get 3 different answers as to what happened. So I suspect this will continue to play out.
Michael, one last thought. It was 1 year ago today that the federal ban on sports betting was struck down by the Supreme Court. How much has changed in the last year?
Well, but 8 states have made sports betting legal. That includes, of course, Nevada, which has had it since 1949, but 7 other states have joined. We know that another couple dozen are contemplating legislation to legalize sports betting. It has allowed states to make the decision that it's not a federal question, that the federal government shouldn't have the ability to deny states the right to determine on their own if they want to have legalized sports betting. And the industry has grown. We've seen the professional leagues, which had challenged the legalization of sports betting, now embrace it, including especially the NBA, but also the NFL as well. And I think we'll see leagues incorporate sports betting into their business models, that it will become part of the game. But there will be questions, Jim. We know that, you know, what happens if people bet on individual plays? That has often raised concerns that, you know, like in tennis, if somebody throws a play, you really can't prove that he or she did that, right? Because it's such a small thing. Will that happen in some of the sports that the major sports here in the United States? We'll see, but it's going to be interesting to see it play out.
It's going to be really interesting to see the next year or two as that plays out. He's a legal analyst, an author, an attorney as well, Michael McCann with Sports Illustrated. Michael, great job as always. Nice to have you back. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Michael McCann breaking these things down. I mean, does anybody anywhere think that Bob Kraft video is not going to leak?